Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast, sponsored by Faith Guitars. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
I'm your host, Joe Branton.
Jay Cross.
I'm your... Hi.
And Matthew Knight.
Was Sebastian a lobster or a crab?
He was a lobster. And anyway, on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about new guitars from Ernie Ball, ESP, and the next generation of digital amplification, as well as a load of Fender stuff that we haven't actually covered yet from this year's NAMM. And we're going to be taking questions from the Guitar Nerds Facebook group. To join the discussion, follow the links in the description of this podcast or visit facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum.
Now, you're not really joining in with discussion though, are you?
Well, you could, yeah, you aren't. You could, well, yeah, you
I mean, you barely join in with discussion. Really, what's happening here is me and Mark talk.
When?
Sometimes we defer to Matt for guidance, and then occasionally you tell us off for getting off topic.
I have jingles.
What?
Jingles.
Oh, that sounds.
I've got important discussion.
No. Whoa.
According to the Disney website, official right. novelization and Disney sanctioned reference material, uh-huh. Sebastian is a lobster. Controversy remains over Sebastian's species due to Sebastian stating he himself is a crab.
He is a crab.
As well as Chef Louis indicating as such. In the Little Mermaid TV series,
How on earth could I miss such a sweet little succulent crab? Caldemar, what a loss. Here we go in the sauce and some flour icing. Just a dab. Then I stuff you with
can't
bread.
Sing anymore.
Oh, yeah, okay.
We will get done.
In the Little Mermaid TV series, he's also referred to
canon.
As a crab.
That's not canon.
So what you want, there's controversy about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, is the
We've
TV
got to represent both
canon.
Sides of the argument, Jay. Fair and balanced reporting.
I don't agree with that.
What I'm saying.
Anyway, we need to, before we move on to the meat of this...
The
crab meat of this podcast, we need to introduce our
it's
new...
Vegan.
Yes, that's true. It's
vegan crab meat.
We need to introduce our new patrons for this week. So thank you very much to Eric Hemmer, who joins us at the top tier, Matthew Spencer, Mark Nape, and... EJ Caspers. I've taken a real bash at pronouncing that nape. I think there are two silent K's in there.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I'm going with that. Correct me, Mark, if I'm wrong. But I think I've done a pretty solid job there.
Mark Packham.
No. Mark Nape.
Okay.
I think that's it. It could be Canapka.
Joe, just oh my gosh.
Anyway, yeah, before we actually get into anything else, we're announcing a new run of giveaways starting this week as well, because we've teamed up with friend of the podcast and all-round wonderful musician Mikey Demas of Skindred and Redbeard Effects to give away a Redbeard Red Mist Mark IV Overdrive pedal.
Oh yeah, what's that? I've not heard anyone talking about that.
Well, there you go. It is one of the most wonderful overdrive pedals released last year. The first pedal in the Redbeard lineup. Followed on at NAMM this year by the wonderful double octave fuzz Honey Badger. But we're giving away the Red Mist. So as before, when we've done giveaways, we're going to be announcing the winner right here on the podcast on the 26th of February.
Is there going to be another spinny geezer?
Yes, exactly. That's right. We're going to be using the Wheel of Nerdune. Let's go for that to decide the winner right here on the
Joe Branton.
Oh, it's kind of, yeah. Sorry.
All the pre-planning here.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Anyway, so entry is going to be opening to all listeners all over the globe. And there are a ton of ways you can enter. You can enter on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Patreon. You can even email us to enter. And there are even links in the description of this podcast on how to enter. All you've got to do is head over to your desired platform, or all of them, find the post, tag a friend who you think should also enter, and answer this question. Name one piece of Redbeard merchandise that you can buy on the Redbeard website. Now, to find that answer, you'll have to visit redbeardfx.com. But yes, we will be...
I hope he's upped his bandwidth.
Yeah, exactly.
They're both going to be on there.
Yeah. Exactly. But we're going to be answering... we're going to be awarding that mantle of victory in 3 weeks right here on the podcast. Now,
if you Google image search for cartoon crab...
Right.
Sebastian comes up quicker in a Google image search for cartoon lobster than he does for cartoon crab.
That's an excellent way of doing that.
Yeah, to gauge public perception. But you get to the second picture of Sebastian faster if you search cartoon crab than you do cartoon lobster.
By that method, could we find out what's more synonymous as a digital amplifier? If we Google digital amplifier, is it a Mustang GT by Fender?
No,
or is it
in,
a bus
I'm,
Katana?
I'm going to put in Guitar Nerds and see who comes up first.
Which one of us?
It'll be you, I reckon. It'll be one of those videos of you doing it.
No, it's you and Matt for the demo for the Tube Overdrive 1 by Lunarstone.
You mean Joe and Matt?
Yeah, sorry, that's what I said, wasn't
it? Said you.
You said you. Oh, I said, yeah, it's Joe and Matt.
I mean, I'm in the room with you and I didn't know who you're talking about.
The second one is Matt interviewing a geezer from MNHM. Who's that? That's a band. I think they were a band.
They were at ATG.
Oh, right.
And he had a saxophone, maybe?
Oh, yeah, cool. That
was another band, actually.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay.
I can't remember what this one was. Anyway.
No, that was the same band.
Oh, was it?
I want to say the band was called Mannheim.
I think they were called Mannheim.
I think that's what they were called, too.
Yeah.
And then another picture is Mark talking about top five guitars, and then Joe playing some sort of absolutely horrific bass.
Oh, is it the Warwick
bass?
Oh, that was that was when I went to Germany to the Warwick factory.
Fun fact about that photo.
Uh-huh.
Translucent background. Transparent background.
Oh, yeah, you can do what you want.
It's open season on that one.
Now, that photo, playing...
Oh, no.
I'm playing a pink...
I'm putting that in the Facebook group right now.
Mate, that's totally fine. I'm playing a pink Warwick Buzzard.
It's black and white, this photo.
Oh, yeah. It was a fantastic guitar. That was
that's your TC preset, right?
That was right. I did that video
How
with Tor.
How many times has it been downloaded?
I don't know. I should ask TC. I think I downloaded it, so at least one. but yeah, I did that video at the Warwick factory with Tor from TC on my Shaker Vibrato preset. But
crikey, they were really struggling to find people to do presets on the vibrato, weren't they?
They were like, this dude's shaking probably from his hangover.
But it was good because I got to pick any bass in the whole of the factory to use. So
and
I
you chose the pink.
Yeah. Well, there was another Warwick
there was Buzzard. There was a 1957 P bass. Yeah, there was a 1960 Jazz.
Play a Warwick
there
Buzzard.
There was a mid-70s EBO.
There was nothing like that. It was obviously all Warwick stuff. But
of course, yeah.
There was one other Warwick Buzzard that was like a graffiti finish, and it was fretless and unlined fretless, but it also didn't have any dot markers.
So it's literally just like playing a trombone.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that Buzzard was not pink, Joe. It was like candy apple red. I'm watching the video
vibrant,
right now.
That's color correction on that video. I'm telling you, it was a vibrant pink.
I like the two comments here are the only gigging bass you'll ever need. And who is this Bo Banton ripoff? they're the two comments on that video.
What date are those comments? Were those comments posted?
They are 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow,
great.
Two whole years ago. And then, there's some more comments on Facebook. That's proper Bo. isn't this the dude from GAC?
That's someone awesome not in on the joke.
And dancer at the same time. Someone actually put awesome player and dancer.
Were they?
What? Someone knows who you are,
Mark nearly spat his drink.
I really struggled with that one.
Yes. Well, anyway, that was fun times, and I do like a Warwick Buzzard. If they were more affordable, I would definitely play one. They look very cool.
How much are they?
I think you can only get them at, you know, on the Warwick site, Warwick and Framus site, they do everything in tiered, so you can have like a, I can't remember the exact name for
I'd be in tears with that one.
Yeah, so they have like a, they have a sort of master built, team built, and then, you know, there's a grade below that. I think the Buzzard, along with a couple of other models, is only available on the absolute top tier, which is such a shame, because I think also at that top tier at the moment is the Jack Bruce base, which is Warwick's take on an EBO, an SG style base, which is absolutely lovely. But now, unfortunately, whilst it did used to be available as the Rock baseline, which I think is their affordable non-German made line of guitars, it is now only available in that top tier, which means, you know, you're looking at sort of £3,000-£4,000. I mean, some of those Warwicks and the Framus guitars really go up. I mean, a fantastic website for looking at some absolutely incredible works of art, but
yeah, I can't figure out how to use their website to get
The website does look like it was made quite some years ago, sort of, you know, internet inception time. But once you've worked out how to navigate your way around the website, the tiering's quite obvious. You sort of pick the body shape and then the
I get it now.
The available tier.
Yeah, it looks like basically only available in custom shop. That's the only way you can get a Buzzard. Yeah. And I'm looking for a price.
I mean, what? They probably won't.
I've seen
for a custom shop.
€7,939.
Yeah, that's it. So the other thing that I really want is the Jonas Hellborg bass, which you can get on there, which is as deep as a 175, but it's solid.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
so it's made out of
wood.
I'm not sure. So they come with a flame top. I don't know what the wood is that they use for the body, but it's, I mean, it must have been over £20, the one
that is absolutely ridiculous.
It's completely ridiculous. So it just has one. You can have, there are varying pickup configurations now, I think, but the original one that they made, which was the one I played in Germany, was the prototype for him, and it just has one jazz bass pickup in the bridge. So it's a bass made out of the most dense amount of material ever. So it's already just incredibly incredibly not that resonant. I know the idea was for it to be very resonant, but I felt that it was just such a...
It's maple.
It's maple. Well, I mean, yeah.
No, I don't think it's not...
There is a hollow version that you can get, but it was originally solid.
So I think the ones that are available to buy are like a hollow body. So it's maple top, back and sides.
It will have a massive center block if it is, because he really didn't want a hollow. But the whole story of the Jonas Hellborg bass and how he designed it, because he's an engineer himself and he designed it very much with Warwick. He really wanted, it was a deliberate attempt to get that sound, and I think probably that prototype being well over £20 made him back out of that sort of weight decision, and they probably added some, you know, some hollow element, but certainly the center block is probably absolutely massive.
The only one it seems that is available to buy right now is the Warwick Masterbuilt Hellborg signature,
£6,000, isn't it?
No. It is French Violet Transparent High Polish.
Oh, yeah.
It's pink, basically.
Oh, yeah, I did see this one.
€12,119.
Such a shame, because I really want one. I would absolutely play one, but they're all, like, the cheapest you see them come up is £6,000.
Yeah.
I just want them to make a standard model.
I guess that's the thing, though, isn't it? Like, they've got a bit of a kind of captive audience, really. Like, if you want that bass, they can charge you whatever they
absolutely
want for it.
Yeah.
Do you know much about Jonas Hellborg?
I mean, I actually don't, other than listening to a bit of his music after I got into his bass, and of course his amplifier range that he also makes through Warwick. Go on, give us a little bit of a download.
So I was just having a look on here. He has released a lot of records, a lot of records under his own, as band leader, as Wikipedia says. But he's also done a load of kind of, I guess you'd call it, session work. He's played with a bunch of people. He did a record or two with Ginger Baker, by the looks of things.
Oh, that's cool.
He also played on a Public Image Limited record.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, he played on the fifth Public Image Limited record, which was called Album, where he played bass and Steve Vai played guitar.
Okay.
Wow. Which seems very weird. Oh, and Ginger Baker played drums. I had no idea about this. I bet this record is absolutely bonkers. I'm going to listen to this tomorrow. I bet it's absolutely mad. But it also goes on to say that before he was a famous musician or whatever, he was in the first three seasons of the Swedish television show Hem till Bin, which translates to Home to the Village. And from what I can tell, this is basically Emmerdale. Emmerdale.
I'm in.
And it has run it started in 1971 and continued through until 2006.
Okay.
I
was just going to say, he was in the first three seasons and then didn't do anything for 15 years, except for in season four, he came back where he explained that he hadn't been on the show because he'd been off becoming a famous bass player.
Oh,
that is it.
That is fantastic.
That is
love
absolutely
it.
Wonderful.
Good old boy. I love it. That's fantastic.
Very into that. But yeah, I mean, listener, if you haven't spent much time kind of on the Warwick or the Framus website, it's not just, you know, I could go on and talk about like the Lee Sklar basses or the Dolphin basses that they've got back in their pro shop at the moment that look absolutely incredible, but actually the Framus site itself is fantastic at the moment. And not just if you're into modern stuff, they've got this vintage 551 studio, which is like what was that fella who had the Epiphone and everyone got into no cutaway thin hollow
bodies?
James Bay. They did their own James Bay style thing. They've brought out the Mayfield, which is their version of like a 335,
okay,
which is available on the Framus stuff. But just doing for the first time, you know, in a long time again, Framus have started doing really cool retro vintage stuff as well.
Sorry, that's Framus, awesome. Not Warwick, right?
Yeah, Framus.
Right, okay.
Because you just Googled... I realise why you're laughing now. You Googled Mayfield Warwick.
I Googled Warwick Mayfield, and what came up is Mayfield Primary School in Warwick. So I think I need to turn my computer off.
Right, yes, do that. But the Panthera 2 Supreme is in a special favourite of mine from Framus, which
also
is
my favourite Thundercat.
He was good. He was, you know, he was always chill and on the level. He you know, he nice blue pants he wore.
Great
as well.
Blue pants, yeah, indeed.
Exactly. Anything and else? You got anything else?
He had
for
like
us
a there? Chest piece, okay. like a. It was like Lederhosen, but
it was a leotard thing.
Oh, like was it a leotard?
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon like all of these 80s cartoons, it absolutely does not stand up anymore.
Thundercats still really good.
I bet it's
He Man, dreadful.
He Man, very bad.
Tell you what else stands up really well: the Real Ghostbusters, still really good. I've watched a fair bit of it recently, and
have you ever seen the Real
good.
Ghostbusters?
Have you ever seen Real Ghostbusters?
damn it!
The ones that hold up well from that era, absolutely. Thundercats and Real Ghostbusters.
I liked. I went for a phase. This isn't 80s, but 90s. I went for a phase of rewatching X-Men.
Still
the
good
cartoon, and that was good.
Yeah, that still holds up.
That was good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, Thundercats had overarching story, much like the X-Men.
And, what was the Spider-Man one? Where Spider-Man had sidekicks and they were like Iceman and Fire
Man
Woman. Firestar, I think it was. Firestar and Iceman. I don't know.
Dave Iceman.
Was it like an offshoot David of Iceman. Avengers David or something?
I don't know. Oh, it doesn't matter if no one else knows it. It was the only Spider-Man I was ever privy to. Anyway,
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah, like fireman or policeman.
He's a Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
What do you want to be when you grow up? Spider-Man.
Anyway, I wanted to... I wanted to talk about this famous Panthera 2 Supreme because
why?
It is.
Why
because,
do you want to
guys,
talk about
it's
it?
Awesome. Have you, are you guys looking at it right now?
Famous Panthera.
So listen.
I'm looking at Spider-Man TV show.
Yeah, of course you are. So if you go onto the Framus website, you go into their master built selection, you'll find the Panthera 2 Supreme, which is a double neck, 12 string acoustic, and 6 string electric.
The one that I'm looking at on this retailer website isn't that at all.
No, yeah, that's why I said go on to the Framus website.
I see. I kind of stopped listening when you.
Yeah. Okay. Well. There you go. Yes, the Panthera is essentially like a single cut Les Paul esque sort of offset Les Paul model, but they do have available right now in their custom shop, in their master built custom shop, a half acoustic 12 string, half sort of Les Paul style single cut. Six string.
They make some bonkers guitars.
Oh, yeah.
I could have seen them at NAMM. They do have some absolutely bananas custom shop stuff.
Yeah, there's some amazing
stuff.
I really
like the Devon Townsend.
What, the Stormbender? The Stormbender, which is in like a rainbow finish with a rainbow triangle on it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I like it. I like rainbow guitars.
They absolutely make some fantastic stuff. I don't think that Framus have the reputation they ought to. They should be more in the mainstream than they are, I think, with the quality instruments that they build and, you know, how incredibly cool some of them are. There is currently on their master built, there's their XG, which is their SG style. It's kind of an offset SG style. Single P90 in the bridge, black, gold binding, gold Bigsby. Single P90. Oh, that's everything you want in a.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah,
there's a lot going on with all of these.
Yeah, they're incredibly cool. Now, I guess at this juncture, we should probably aim to get through some news. So, Jay Cross, we never actually managed to last week finish off all of the Fender stuff that we were talking about.
No. Was that a question?
Yeah, it was a question, because there are some other really cool things that have come out.
I didn't hear the duck. I didn't realise it was a question.
No. The question duck will be here later. He's going to usher in that part. I've got this down now. It's news first. Question duck comes later.
Okay.
It's the question duck's fault. He's eager, but I'm not going to let him out of the cage this time.
What?
He's
going to... Why keep it a duck in a cage?
Feed him oranges through the bars.
Good.
Anyway, I want to talk about some of the cool Fender stuff that's come out. Let's start with the least cool. So the expanded Acoustasonic range.
Yeah, okay, fine. So that, you know, the thoughts of Joe Branton did not necessarily reflect those of the Guitar Nerds company. The Acoustasonic Strat. So this kind of came out of nowhere for, you know, people like you. I knew about it, obviously. But it's...
That's good. Good start.
Yeah. Well, you know, what can I tell you? I'm, I know stuff, Matt. I know stuff. So Acoustasonic Strat, 5, 10 sounds built into it.
Right.
So it's not just a Telecaster. It's not just the Acoustasonic Tele in a Strat shape. It is a totally... redesigned pickup configuration.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So what did the Tele have? How many pickup configurations did the Tele have?
I think it also had 10. So basically, right. It's a 5-way selector switch, and then there is the tone knob blends between two
sounds.
Oh, of course
it does. Yeah.
And so this has got, I think it is 10 new sounds. I'm not completely sure, to be honest with you. But the one of the new sounds that's in there is a overdriven electric guitar. Whereas before there was just a clean electric guitar.
Yeah, okay.
And it sounds really good. It sounds really, really good. The first time I heard it actually in real life, we just had it plugged into a portable PA.
Right.
Just one of the Fender Passport things. And just straight into that, no modelling, no preamp or anything. It sounded amazing. Like really genuinely very, very good.
That's cool.
I don't think there's a huge amount of point of us going through the pickup positions because, like you say, I mean, you're barely hanging on to interest as I go through this.
No, I actually think this looks completely fantastic.
I actually really want to try one because I've not tried... obviously, haven't been able to get the Teles anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued to try.
I really liked the video that Fender put out as well, with like two fellas.
Yeah.
Two fellas really like
kind of going through the sounds.
Yeah. Exactly. But
and you're right, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I just wondered where Joe was going for that one.
Yeah, you know, we are where we are. It's genuinely very, very cool. I think that the Strat is, I prefer the look of the Strat to the Tele. I think the kind of, the curves that you would normally associate with a Strat look more
at
natural
home.
than they do on the Tele. I really like it. I think it's a very, very cool. And this one comes in red, which looks really nice. I think it looks... yeah, very cool.
And still comes in that pastel green that they did before as well.
It's a different green. I think this is a surf green? I feel like it's a surf or a sea foam. It is neither of those. It's transonic blue.
Oh, right. There you go.
It was green on the telly. So the colours it comes in are three-tone sunburst, black, natural, Dakota red, and transonic blue. I think the red looks the best out of all of those. Right. So, like you say, it's they're borderline impossible to get a hold of.
Yeah.
They're basically all
really specific product. It's so strange, isn't it? Like such an expensive sort of modeling acoustic in if you think about the legacy of those type of guitars. I know they have nothing to do with them other than in shape, but when Fender last did Strats and Tellies shaped acoustics, it was kind of, well, this is a gimmick.
It's
amazing that these ones have managed to kind of throw off that. I know they're a completely different thing, but people are taking them very seriously. As you say, no one can get hold of them. They're $2,000 a pop, these guitars, and people are still, you know, they've obviously fallen into a niche very, very quickly. I mean, I think helped by people like Jack White.
I think the thing is that the guitars ended up in the hands of people who understood what they were and took them seriously, and therefore they sort of jumped off on the right foot.
Yeah.
And I agree. I think Jack White getting one and kind of making it his own, I think it kind of showed that the guitar was more than just, it was still a Fender guitar. And Fender guitars are made to be sort of, you know, modded and, you know, you can do weird stuff with it. And that's what he did. I think they're very cool. They sound great. You know, it was the sort of the remit that where this came from was Andy Mooney, the CEO, basically said, like, look, let's make an acoustic guitar how Leo Fender would have made an acoustic guitar if he had, you know, focused on that.
As in trying to push boundaries.
You know? Yeah. And, you know, it still had to have the 6-in-a-line headstock as opposed to doing the, like, with the Paramounts that came out over the last few years ago, they were sort of 3-a-side. And, you know, this is kind of a modern acoustic guitar. And I was supremely skeptical when I first heard about it. But, you know, they're made in the Corona factory in California. They're on their own kind of production line. I think there's a handful of people in there.
Right.
It's essentially a custom shop where they're being made, and it's really astonishing. It really is astonishing. So yeah, I think everyone is surprised at how well they've done.
Yeah.
And you know, I've spoken to people who've just said, like, look, I just can't live without it anymore. A friend of kind of all of ours from when we worked at GAC, John Watts, who used to play in the band Fisher's Ed back in the Fisher's Ed. I bumped into him in Brighton 6 months ago or so, and he was like, I bought one and I had to buy another one because I couldn't risk like something happening to one. And he's on tour half the year,
right, yeah.
And he's like, I couldn't risk not having it, so he bought a second one.
Wow.
And he's just like, that's it, that's what he uses now. And you know, that's a geezer who's been playing live for, you know, pushing 50 years. It's you know, playing in like kind of a punk band, so it's mad. But anyway, that's I'll stop going on about that. Probably something that you'll find more interesting is the best kept secret guitar Fender ever brought out, which is the Jim Root Jazzmaster, the new Jim Root Mexico built Jazzmaster.
Oh yeah,
which he announced on his Instagram about, I don't know, 15 years ago, seemingly.
Well, wasn't there that there was that really weird like video that, well, I say weird video. It was a video that came up. It was like an unknown kind of YouTuber just reached out to him on Instagram and said, hey, can I come and film your rig? And he went, sure, why not? And I think he was like, showed it and talked about it on there. And that was like well over a year ago.
Yeah.
Everyone was like, who's the dude interviewing him for a start? But yeah, I don't know. It just sort of, I think everyone's been waiting for it for quite some time.
So is this Mexican made now?
Yes.
It is.
Yes. So this is a, yeah.
Are there any other differences?
So it's just volume. I think it's just a three-way selector. And the other thing is their new Gymroot Demonium EMG pickups.
But okay. The pickups are like zebra pickups. So
yes.
Yeah.
So the pickups actually look quite old school.
But are they active? Course,
they are active. Okay. Yeah, they're still EMG. Okay. They're still EMG active. Yeah, they are inspired by a set of modified retroactive pickups.
Perloid block inlays as well on this one. So this is definitely the most classic looking Gymroot.
They've always looked good.
They've always looked good. I just mean this is a classic looking.
This one
doesn't actually look modern. It looks 80s kind of, if anything.
Well, I mean, there's not that much to it. I mean, obviously it's got the block inlays, but you know, it's still that matte finish and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
What's pricing on it?
£1,200 or something, I guess. I don't know, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah. Pricing is 1139 in pounds, and then
1139.
£1,139 and £1,399 in US dollars.
That's cool. I'm into it.
It comes in a case. What is the
fretboard radius?
12-inch.
12.
Okay, cool. That's kind of what I've, because I quite like, if I was ever going to go down the route of getting something like that, getting something more like that. The thing that I like about like Charvels and stuff is that slightly flatter radius. And that's obviously, they've taken some inspiration from those necks when they were building all the Gymroot stuff.
Did we talk about, you know, when I was talking about the HM Strats last week?
Yeah.
Did I tell you about the fingerboard radius on that?
They're the other way.
Yes.
It's practically the other way.
No, they're 17
Yeah, that's
inch.
What I mean. It's practically
no, that's even
concave.
Flatter.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's so flat.
Yeah, it's bonkers. Absolute bonkers.
Guitar Nerds is brought to you in association with Faith Guitars. Based right here in the UK, Faith Guitars are designed by British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle, who has been hand-building guitars for decades for some of the biggest names in the business. Founded in 2002, Faith Guitars have been voted the UK's best acoustic guitars 5 times in a row by both the public and panels of music industry experts, so you can be confident in your new Faith guitar. Like all quality acoustics, Faith guitars are made of all solid tone wood, so you can be sure they'll start off sounding great and improve year on year. Faith don't use laminated woods, but you'll be pleased to know that despite the all solid tone woods, the superb specification and handmade construction, Faith guitars are still affordable, with prices starting at around £450 or $600. Discover the range at faithguitars.com and then visit one of the many UK or European retailers to try them for yourself. But hold up! If you're in the USA or Canada, you can buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com. And by using the coupon code NERDS at the checkout, you can get an exclusive 10% discount. So, in the UK and Europe, check out the guitars at your local dealer or faithguitars.com. But for North American listeners, buy direct at faithguitarsusa.com and use the coupon code NERDS for a special 10% off at the checkout. That's USA coupon code NERDS at the checkout. Faith Guitars, award-winning acoustics designed right here in the UK.
It's like a classical guitar.
Yeah, but not.
Sure. Yeah, it's not a classical guitar. Yes,
no,
you're
ridiculous.
Correct in that. I'm into this in a big way.
Yeah, like Gymroot. You say, the Gymroot stuff has always been really good, and it's always been very different. And I think that he and, you know, there's a few people in terms of kind of modern metal guitar players. I think Gymroot's definitely one. I'd say John Five.
He's definitely a modern metal guitar player.
And,
yes,
Ben Vyman as well from Dillinger Escape Plan. In terms of bringing classic looking guitars into modern metal, and you know, we talk about when you guys, when we were still at GAC, went to that weird festival, that weird metal festival that was down on the beach.
Yeah,
it was on the beach.
It was at the race course.
Okay, and that was all like telecasters and stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it's like that wouldn't have happened without Gymroot doing that.
Yeah, there were loads of Jim Root tellies.
So there. Many Jim Root tellies at that that festival.
It's mad, didn't it?
If it wasn't Jim Root tellies, it was Jim Root strats.
Right.
If you, I don't know if anyone saw the kind of rig rundown with Lee Mellier from Bring Me the Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all just like, I just like Les Pauls.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's just like Les Pauls. It's like Firebirds and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It's just like normal, quite normal body
normal
shapes.
Guitar. It's just normal guitars.
Just normal shapes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, his signature models are an RD, Explorer and a Les Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Like super simple, just like classic.
Yeah. So that's that. And the other thing, the other kind of big thing, I guess, that we didn't really get to talk about is the new guitars in the Player series. And I mean, to be honest with you, if it had been a normal news week, this would have taken up half the episode. So I'm just going to kind of blitz through it. Basically, what was the Offset series? So the Mustangs and Duosonics and Mustang basses have all been rolled up into the Player series.
They've been enveloped.
They have, yes.
That's good, because the Offsets came shortly before, didn't they?
Before the Players. Players. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice to see those rolled into the Players to keep it coherent.
Yes, absolutely. And basically there are SS Duosonics and HS Duosonics.
Oh, this is very cool.
The thing is that the one in particular for me is there's a Desert Sand Duosonic. And that's the original Offset. You know, that's the one. That was 1954.
Looks really good as well.
It looks amazing.
They all look amazing. I mean, I do think
56. Sorry.
More importantly than that, I think is the fact that there is now a Burgundy Mist Mustang 90 in the range.
And then so that's the Duosonics, and then in the Mustangs again there are SS Mustangs and P90 Mustangs. And they're great. You know, I've got one of the the Mustangs in one of the FSR ones in Shell Pink.
Would you rather have a Duosonic than a Mustang?
No, I would rather have a Duosonic than a Mustang?
What's the difference? Can someone explain?
So Duosonic is a different shape.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they're a very slightly different shape. The waist is more pronounced on a Mustang than it is on a Duosonic.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Mustangs, I guess, usually have trem.
Usually have a tremor.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What's on these?
They're hardtail.
Right, got it.
So
right.
Very little difference between this and the Duosonics.
Different colours available.
You get the bigger headstock on the Mustang and the smaller 60s one on the Duosonic.
Right, okay. Yeah, that...
I think I prefer the Duosonics.
The Duosonic's great, especially that one in Desert Sand. I mean, do you remember there used to be...
There was a Squire.
Was it a Squire? It was a Squire. That guitar was so good. We sold loads of them when we were at GAC.
It was so good. I remember there was that. And at that same time, Fender were also doing the Jay Maskus. Is that the right
person? Jay Maskus still available.
That in white with a gold and a nice plate on that, and that was a Jazzmaster. And at the same time, they were doing the 50s P bass that you could get in honey blonde with a gold anodized plate. And it's such a great combo with maple necks as well. It's just such a cool look.
But yeah, that for me, I think it's great that that's back in the catalog, because that really is, it's such an iconic guitar in terms of. Sort of foreshadowing what was to come. Right. I think it's great. And yes, like you say, the P91 is available in Burgundy Mist.
Yes! Exciting times. The Mustang basses as well.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Expanded colour
range. No one cares about basses.
Everybody else can just turn down their volume for a minute. I'm just going to speak to Joe for a sec. Joe, there is also some PJ Mustang basses
in vintage tint natural.
Yeah, that does actually look very cool. That with a finish. Dark taupe guard.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
Looks really, really cool. Really good.
We'll be answering a question specifically, kind of, I guess, about this range later on when the question duck is allowed out.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. But yes, these are very exciting. I think awesome. I'm very, very glad to see the Offset series take a real sort of solid long-term position in the Fender catalog.
In the player range, yeah.
Yeah, because as the Offsets, it was kind of like, well, this is something that Fender could discontinue and we might be left without them for a while.
And the player series now is massive, because the leads fell into the player series. Yeah. The lead 2 and 3 fell into the player series, and of course there's all the Strats and Tellys and Jaguars and Jazzmasters and everything. So it's a real neat little selection.
It's a really smart move, just having this affordable line of guitars that now more or less is kind of taking up most models that Fender have ever made, and having an option for everything at that price point, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just holding out for the Swinger.
Yeah, yeah, aren't we all? I was just thinking that as well. That's the last one that we need, really. Is the last one? It's probably not the last one that we need.
Did they? What happened with
the Fender 5?
What with those Japanese-made ones?
I don't know. I don't think any of them. Don't think that any of them made it outside of Japan.
Okay, interesting.
I don't think so.
Well, there we go. That's the next project, Jay. It's the next thing you got to fight for in the office.
My right to party.
Yeah,
my right to swing.
Your right to swing.
I want to have a swinger party.
Yeah. In the office.
So is that everything from Fender? That's pretty much.
What do you mean? Is that everything? It's been 3 weeks.
I don't know what to tell you, mate. People have turned off.
Yeah, sorry. We are going to talk about some more Fender stuff next week, but let's move on. Let's talk about some other things, because there's other cool things that have happened.
Can I talk about something?
Yeah, you can talk about something, Mark Packham. Why don't you talk about something?
I will. That's great. I do want to talk about something. So Ernie Ball strings, specifically Slinkies. For years, obviously, there was only, what, like 5 gauges or something. Rig extra slinky.
Yeah. Super slinky.
Super slinky. Hybrid slinky.
Regular.
Yeah.
Power.
And
beefy.
Skinny top heavy bottom.
Skinny top heavy bottom.
This before we got to beefy, so that's what, 6.
And then what, beefy and, then there and was, not even.
What
then,
do I use? Not
then
even.
Then there was not beefies even. And not evens.
Yeah.
So they came, what, maybe 12 years ago, 15 years ago, something
it's
like that?
Beefy purple.
No, power is
power.
Power,
that's what I use.
Beefy's like
11
orange.
To 49. 11 right. to 48, no,
just
I
for
think
base.
So.
And then
50 to 1.
And then last year, we got
Mammoth?
Yes, we did. But before that, Ultra and Burley.
Yes.
Then Primo, Mega and Mammoth.
But these were all like half sets, aren't they? They introduced their 0.5.
I mean, what else are you going to do with it?
Well, I know. Yeah, of course. And then it's like they're all different versions of like light top, heavy bottom, heavy top, light bottom.
I mean, again, what else are they going to do with it?
Well, but I think go heavier. Who said 13's the heaviest string you can possibly get?
They do a set of baritones. They do the baritone slinkies.
Yeah, but yeah, fine.
And they, there's 7, and I assume they do 8 string. I don't know if they did them when I was still at the shop.
Well, I'll tell you what they do is a whole brand new range of strings. The Turbo, Mondo, Skinny Top, Beefy Bottom, and Mighty Slinkies.
Right, okay, talk us through them.
Is that Turbo and Mondo or Turbo Mondo?
No, to not Turbo Mondo, Turbo and Mondo. So, Turbo Slinkies, 9.5 to 46.
Right. So I thought they already had something in 9.5.
They go in between regular slinkies and hybrid slinkies.
They already have a 9.5.
They probably do, but this is to 46.
Right.
That might be 9.5 to 42.5, maybe, the other one. Anyway, so Turbo Slinkies, 9.5 to 46. Mondo Slinkies, 10.5 to 52. Ideal for those who don't want to go to 11s, but want to chew lower without things getting flappy. If you're looking to move to thicker gauges, the new Magnum Slinkies,
yes,
12 to 56 with a wound 22.
I cannot believe they called them Magnum.
Wait, can you double check for me what not even is in that case?
13 to 56, 12 to 56.
So what are these?
These are 12 to 56, but with...
Okay, 13 to 56.
No, they are 12 to 56, because that's what Tim
plays.
Yeah,
but these have a wound G.
Right, is that... So the other ones don't have a wound G. Would you want a wound G?
Yeah,
if you're playing, yes, yeah.
If you don't want to
otherwise,
do like bending
it's like playing
and stuff,
a steel rod.
Yeah.
Tim real doesn't rod. Seem to mind.
Well, he's left-handed.
Yeah. He's,
and he plays upside down.
Yeah. They do all sorts of weird
stuff.
Do you
think I should get him Magnums?
He likes you.
Should I mean, get?
Yeah well, he's got no. He can't judge anything.
Can't trust him.
Should I get him Magnums?
We just have
instead
to hang
of
out
not
with you.
Even.
Don't
yeah,
like
yeah.
You.
Basically, what you need to do is the best place to buy these actually is in the pharmacy. Just pop in there and just say like, yeah, can I get
oh, really?
A extra large Magnum, please?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They sell them in pharmacy. Oh, I'll go down tomorrow.
That's right.
See
yeah, they've got a deal with.
I'll see if they can
because
he
Ashton's.
Likes it when he can get a multi pack of them as well.
Yeah.
So I'll see. Good. See what good. The largest amount of Magnums is that I can buy.
I'm sure I can go through them that quickly, though.
Skinny top, beefy bottoms are 10 to 54s, which would be... What are skinny top, heavy bottoms normally? 10 to 52. So, yeah, heavier
Jay,
bottom
why
end.
Do you know this off the top of your head? Every
he loves accessories. No accessories. I'm king of the accessories, mate.
Yeah, that's
me.
True, yeah.
You can also get skinny top beefy bottoms in a 7-string set, which adds a 62 bottom on there.
Nice.
On the lighter side, there are mighty slinkies, 8.5 to 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
What? Have they released a 7... any gauge 7s?
I don't know if they've ever done a 7.
Because
that was
if you
really
remember,
high pitched.
If you remember, that was what was on the... that wasn't what was on it, but sorry, Matt, I know you're about to correct me. I'm going to take a step back. Billy Gibbons uses 7s.
Yeah.
But what was on his Les Paul was 8s because he thought nobody would buy a guitar that had 7s on it.
Thing is, they can't do a set of 7s because people would Google 7 strings and then just get 7-string sets instead.
Is that the traditional reason why they
did? Yeah, it did. Yeah, Google.
Yeah, back in the 60s.
Google. They're also, that was Mighty Slinkies, 8.5 to 40s, which sit somewhere between Super Slinkies and Extra Slinkies, plus also Hyper Slinkies, 8 to 42s, which basically are a... I think they'd normally be, what, 8 to 40s?
8 to 38.
8 to 38. So these are basically a skinny top, heavy bottom for 8s. well, you'd want that. I've no idea, but I'm sure someone will. The thing is about strings and all these mad gauges and stuff, you can never do enough gauges because there'll always be someone who'll come in and go, oh, have you got any 8 to 80s? Yeah, I've got this. I play in this weird way. Yeah, I need 8 to 80.
How can they do all this and not do 13s? Well, I'll tell you what.
Well, they do make 13s.
No, they don't.
Only Ball make 13s.
No,
of
they don't.
They do.
No,
yes,
they don't.
They do.
No, they don't.
Those are mammoths, aren't they?
No, they don't. No, mammoths are 12s.
Oh,
I know
right,
they
okay.
don't do 13s because that's what Tim went to them and asked for.
Well, I'm going to look now.
Well, you could buy a... Could you not buy a set of 7-string regular slinkies because the...
Know.
On a set of
maybe on like a
because well, on a set of regular slinkies the B is a 13.
Well, that's what until Tim started using Newtone strings because they'll make him a custom set. He was having to buy, I can't remember what it was. It was something like a yellow set and
I hate it when Joe's right.
Even.
So annoying.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I only know because we had to ask because. Because
what's the gauge on the regular 7-string?
So I'd need to look at that. But the heaviest 6-string is 12 to 62. I'll have a look on the 7-string. They don't show it on this page. I'll go to a different page, which is why I said I wasn't going to look at it.
I reckon that they are...
Extremely annoying.
What does he use?
So
13
Well, no, not anymore. So now
So we're trying to solve something.
Sometimes he has one guitar that is 12 to 56, but the other guitar, which is in new standard tuning, because that tunes in approximate fifths.
Yeah.
So
what do you mean approximate fifths?
So it's not the whole way up. So it's from high to
it's not the whole way up.
from low to high it would be C G D A E G.
Why is that approximate?
because the five lowest open strings are tuned to an interval of a perfect fifth, with the two highest strings in a minor third.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
but
but it means that basically the highest strings have to be incredibly tight,
yes,
and the lower strings have to be incredibly loose. So you need a 56 for that low C. But you know, if you think you've got to get what would be an E, you've got to get that up to a G. So
right,
you need
something
very thin on the high end. He does it with a 10, but he has a high breaking rate on his strings.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, the seven-string regular slinky set sounds like it's probably the most applicable there.
Yeah,
13 to 56.
If you remember,
but I wanted to check that because obviously there is
You didn't need to check it because there I said now, it, and as we've discussed, I'm king of the accessories.
Because there is now a seven-string skinny top, heavy bottom set, which there wasn't before, which are 13 to 62s.
That is very exciting.
10 to 62s.
Are we done on the strings?
Yeah, sure. But
we're there on the strings, aren't we? Matthew Knight.
I like talking about accessories.
Yes.
It's good.
I haven't heard a lot from you this podcast. I want to hear your lovely manly voice.
I've just been cracking in with the odd bit of bants and then turning my microphone down.
Excellent. Well, okay. Let's hear about
your bants.
Some pedals.
Which ones? I got loads.
I want to hear about these Fox Gira newbies, Matt. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so a brand that we don't talk enough about. I didn't get a chance to see them at NAMM, unfortunately, but they are doing some very, very cool stuff at the moment. They seem to be in this wave of people creating pedals that are kind of like double boss size, I guess, like twin size pedals with a nice little screen with loads of pretty colors on them, but really going in for the kind of high programming on the DSP side. So Fox Gear have announced this Anubi series, which is two different boxes, the ambient box and the modulation box. One is in pink, which sells it instantly, based on now this is something I don't know a huge amount about, but I've seen a few blogs pop up recently about it, about the FV1 digital processor. Now I did do a bit of reading about this when we were going to talk about it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. It's actually a processing chip that loads of companies use to program their DSP on. I think because the processor is, you know, very good, it sounds very good, and it's just a good platform. So what you have here is a completely stereo MIDI capable pedal. So it's got 128 presets, programmable channels, and all of that, with a bunch of different modulation algorithms. So you've got on the modulation, chorus, phaser, tremolo, Leslie, a polyphonic pitch shifter, which is cool. And then you get some of the kind of standard ones on the ambient, reverb, delay, shimmer, and chorus.
You get all the octave stuff also on the reverb pedal though as well, don't you?
Yes, they've paired all of them together. So think, for example, on the ambient, you get reverb and delay, reverb and chorus and stuff together. But what's really interesting that I think is quite different compared to anything else is you can actually mix in the amount of dry signal going through.
This is an excellent feature on a pedal of this style, to actually think about this as an issue.
Yeah, so rather than just a mix control or a level control, you basically get a general mix of the complete analog clean signal going all the way through, plus you get a digital mix at the same time.
So you don't just end up with like a digital version of your tone. You've still got all...
You've still got the clean signal.
Yeah, your proper analog. And so you're just blending in these fantastic... It's all the best bits of like a digital... of digital multi-effects with all the best bits of, you know, being able to retain your proper sound.
Yeah, so what's interesting is you can go from 100% wet to completely bypass.
Yeah.
Basically, rather than just, you know, the pedals on, you're going through some of the circuitry, but you can't hear any of the effect. Effectively, because this is a complete mix of the analog signal, you can turn the level all the way down and you're getting basically your normal guitar tone, which I think is very cool because that really helps dial in just the right amount for... you know, gigs or playing live or then taking it home. But you can actually recall all those settings as well. I think, from what I understand, across the entire preset range. So you can have all your presets and then you can dial in the clean mix and it will be the same across all the pedals.
Very cool.
All of the presets that you've built in.
I really like the layout of this pedal as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's super, super simple. I mean, they're keeping, as I said, you know, there's a few companies doing a similar thing at the moment. But basically, stomp switch, which you'd expect. And then you've got a giant scroll knob in the middle, which I'm not sure is the best place for it, because it feels like if you're trying to turn it on and off, you might just keep hitting with your foot and then just scrolling through a bunch of random presets.
I agree, but I kind of think the bypass switch is there if, you know, it's just because they need to put it on there. No one's going to be buying this and not plumbing it into some sort of MIDI device. That's, you know, if you're going to get something that is such a, because this is just a computer, this is a Helix for people who still want to use their own pedals. You know, that's kind of the type of multi effects that this is. So I can't see anyone not using this with an ESA or something like that.
Yeah, but I still think, you know, you don't want to have to take it to a gig in emergency and then hit that switch and then your presets.
You're absolutely right. People should really think about where they're putting bypass switches, just in the same way that I guess people should think about where jack inserts go on pedals, you know, so that they fit on pedal boards.
Yeah, and just where you put your knobs. I'd care more about that than where the jack socket goes.
Right. Okay, fine. Fair enough.
Just saying. You know, look at Walrus moving to the side. It's where it needs to be.
Walrus moving them to the side?
Yeah, Walrus's new pedal had side jacks, not top-mounted jacks.
Oh, there you go.
I just don't pay attention, Joe Branton.
I just don't see why it's a problem. I know people get really wound up about it.
I mean, your foot's the same size. Foot is still the same size. Yeah. So, top or bottom, you'll still cover the whole thing.
That's right.
Fair enough. Now, a brand of guitars that we don't often cover in that much detail, ESP. ESP had a massive launch of guitars at NAMM this year. And the thing was, every week that we did a NAMM episode, I planned to talk about them.
Isn't this news like... Wait, the press release that you've linked to came out 6 weeks ago.
Okay, so the press release I've linked to is actually the first tier, because they did three progressions,
releases.
Three tiers of releases, essentially. So that was the first one, yes, and I meant to speak about that one for a couple of weeks, and then the second one came out, so I put that one on the list of things we're going to talk about. We never got round to it, and then the third one, we basically never got round to it for weeks and weeks. But now, of course, all three release ranges from ESP have happened, and my goodness, they're absolutely fantastic, and what a massive amount of guitars to put out, you know, for this year, and some incredibly cool things as well. I need to, like, all guitar nerds should be very excited about the SC-607 Baritone, which they have released in the finish known as Purple Satin, which is more like a mauvey sort of lavender, which is a fantastic colour.
So this is
it's a satin finish.
Stephen Carpenter signature, right?
Yes, absolutely. So we've got like a through neck 7-string with the Fishman Fluence pickups. It looks absolutely, absolutely cracking. A wonderful new addition to the Stephen Carpenter signature line.
I've always thought they were good, the Stephen Carpenter guitars. Like, I'm not, historically, I've not been a big fan of ESP stuff. Not because there's anything wrong with it. It's just that they release a bunch of guitars that don't really appeal to me because, you know, I like Tellys and Les Paul Juniors and that.
Sure.
But I've always liked the Stephen Carpenter stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they did, what was it, a 7-string baritone.
Yeah, you know? He plays a 7-string baritone, but the thing that he had previously was a Telly-style shape, and I believe one came into GAC in large flake green sparkle.
Yeah, amazing.
Awesome, completely brilliant. And, you know, the fact that it's a 7-string baritone is just incredibly cool.
I like the fact that on their... I was just looking at their custom shop gallery. I know it's not exactly new news, but someone's had one made in shell pink, which does
wonderful.
Look amazing. And then someone's had one done in multi... I guess I would call it multicolored pink sparkle flake.
That's a catchy sounding name, Matt.
Yeah.
Matthew?
No, I was stopping.
That was
not to interrupt you. But yeah, definitely worth checking out the custom shop gallery on ESP because there is some pretty unique guitars cropping up.
Yeah, they do some absolutely fantastic stuff. Another one of my favourite models that's come out of the 2020 releases is their Mirage Deluxe 87. In that sort of line of, you know, Fender releasing the HM Strats. This is, you know, I guess a similar thing. So a Floyd Rose mounted angled single coil, an angled mini humbucker,
like a rails humbucker,
in the neck, and then humbucking in the bridge.
Yeah, I mean these are very, very much in line with the kind of Charvels that have come out of the last few years, and the HM Strat. I think that seems to be the big thing. And I think if you'd asked us 5 years ago what's going to be the trend in 2020, I think a return to kind of firstly like fluorescent, but also like pastel coloured super Strats. And everyone's into them in a big way, I would say, nah, it's not going to happen, mate. Yeah. But turns out that they are all really cool. Yeah. And I like these a lot. Two colours, pearl pink and turquoise.
Yeah, absolutely. They look completely fantastic.
Much choice. If you want that type of guitar now, you know, there's all the Charvel stuff. There's these. You've got, obviously, the HM Strats. Ibanez have probably done something as well, I'd imagine. You know, like a reissue of one of their old models.
Ibanez are going more down a line of making the more modern things, aren't they? They've got so stuck into the...
I bet they've done something recently.
What was it called? The AZ models.
Yeah. But, I mean, I guess they're not really far off that either. I mean, I don't know.
It's kind of a modern take on an 80s guitar, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know if there's any sort of colours that kind of fall in line with that. I am on the Ibanez website now, and I have just seen that there is a new Paul Stanley cracked mirror Iceman, but it's gold mirror.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Is that still like $7,000 like the other ones were?
It probably is, yeah. I don't know. I haven't got the price here, I don't think. It's basically this. Instead of a regular mirror, yeah, it's gold mirror with gold pickups around.
That is 14 years bad luck, Paul Stanley.
Yeah, yeah.
Now. Can you believe it?
Cracked mirrors. But yeah, I'm just having a quick scout through Ibanez. I mean, there's a couple of models. They've got an RG421 MSP, which, because it's an RG421, I'd imagine isn't a lot of money. And it is maple neck, two humbuckers, hardtail, in like a kind of light green metallic with matching headstock that looks absolutely amazing. Released this year. Let's have a look, see on the price.
I see Matt. I think it's Matt who's shared from the Custom Shop Gallery that, of course, ESP are the brand responsible for the Andrew WK Taco guitar.
Guitar
with a body, the shape of a taco, where the back of the guitar is an eye.
This RG421 MSP by Ibanez. I know we're deviating slightly from the news here, but I think a potential Gear of the Year candidate may have gone under our radar. Yeah, it looks absolutely amazing. And price-wise, it is £339.
Wow.
It's in... what do they call this finish? Turquoise Sparkle. And, you know, it's just a basic RG, really. You know, it's a bolt-on, maple neck, 24 fret, two humbucker, you know, the hardtail. But it looks absolutely stunning. And if you're into this kind of, you know, throwback super Strat style guitar, that's not a lot of money, and it looks really, really good. I think we should seek out one of these.
We certainly should. Now, I can hear something in the distance. What's that? Oh, yes. That is, in fact, the question duck.
You're
signaling
an idiot.
That
idiot.
It is now time for the question segment of the podcast. So we're going to ask some questions from our Facebook group. Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. First up, Matthew Spencer says, Fender seems to be really pushing Mustang basses at all price points. Are short scale basses finally entering the mainstream?
No, next.
What? Are short scale basses finally entering the mainstream? Matt Knight.
I don't know. I mean, the only short scale bass I... the only short scale bass I ever wanted was the Bad Bats Maru Bronco, which is sadly discontinued.
Oh, that was fantastic. So, the Hello Kitty,
I still want one.
Bass version.
Jay, if you ever find one, I want a Bad Bats Maru Bronco bass, please.
Okay, I'll see what I can do, Matt.
What do you think,
Jay? Thanks, Jay. Everyone. Bye.
Bye.
What do you think, Jay? Short scale basses?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're cool, aren't they? I do agree that they do seem to be available at every price point now.
Yeah.
For ages, I seem to remember that the only short scale bass you could get was the Squire Jaguar bass.
No, always the Bronco.
Well, not always the Bronco though. That's the thing. Like,
yeah, there's always been an Affinity Bronco.
The
always.
Epiphone EBO. I mean, we're not talking just from inside Fender. Yeah, that of course, was always around. But yeah, there were not very many around.
The Jack Bruce was that. Not Jack Bruce. Yeah, Jack Bruce. There was a Jack Bruce that was short scale, wasn't it?
There was never a Jack Bruce did play a short scale EB3, but. There was never a Jack Bruce signature from Epiphone or Gibson. No.
Don't you mean Jack Cassidy?
Jack Cassidy.
Oh, Jack Cassidy. No, the Jack Cassidy's not short scale. Oh, that's right. Full scale, actually. Yeah, the Jack Cassidy, which is the old Les Paul bass, as it was known, even though it's kind of an offset 335 shape with his specially designed impedance-changing pickup in the middle of the body. But no, that was actually a 34-inch scale, unlike the bass it was based on, the Les Paul bass, as it was known, which was indeed a 30.5-inch scale length. But short-scale basses are appearing all over the place at the moment. Look at, like, even Sire. Yeah, brands like Sire, who have kind of come up and out of nowhere with their Marcus Miller line of basses, they've released a short-scale range of basses. Ibanez have done little short-scale Talman basses. They're not quite Talman. They're sort of PJ-ish, but they kind of look a bit
they're
like
that. They're called TMBs, aren't they? So they are, the Talman bass.
Right.
I was just looking. I think, actually, there's a 5-string short-scale available.
Oh, wow. Really?
Which
Ooh,
I don't really know
exciting.
How that works.
Yeah, now yeah, I'd do that.
I'll, let me look at that again.
The top 4 strings are short, and then the...
it's like a banjo, where one of them's a different length to the rest of them.
But for me, the best one available at the moment is the JMJ.
Oh, of course, yeah. It's now available in black as well as Lake Placid Blue.
Yeah, so that looks amazing.
And the JMJ is a road-worn Mustang.
Road-worn Mustang, yeah, that's right. And it's got the proper Mustang split coil pickup.
Comes with flat wounds.
You take those straight off, put some real strings on there. I think that is a really, really cool bass. I like there's a Performer as well, which I quite like, but I don't like that it's...
The Performer's got a
MJ, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah, it's got a jazz bass pickup in the bridge.
It's just which, superfluous.
It looks strange because Mustang pickups are so teeny weeny. It looks weird when you put a normal size pickup on there as well. It just makes it look...
For the same reason, I don't understand the players. Why are you putting a jazz bass pickup on there? Precision bass pickup, fantastic. The best sounding pickup ever invented.
It makes it very versatile, I think.
Joe, who playing a Mustang bass wants versatility?
Who playing bass needs
who
versatility?
Who playing bass needs versatility?
Yeah, I mean, the PJ kind of makes sense as to be a broader church for more players, but I agree
that the precision bass is the best sounding instrument.
You're losing that broad church when you go...
Great show. David Tennant.
Yeah, what a legend.
What are you talking about?
Broad church.
Just to confirm, the Ibanez TMB 35 5-string available in mint green is a short scale bass with 5 strings.
That is very
weird.
30-inch scale neck and 5 strings.
Does it say what string gauge it is?
Yes, it does actually. 45, 65, 85, 105, 130.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. So it's proper. Crikey, they're going to be.
I'd want a heavier gauge than that for that scale length.
If it's
really.
Short scale, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be interesting to see how they've pulled it off.
The bass player from a band called TTNG. Plays a.
I love that show. Best Star Trek series.
this town needs guns, but they changed.
No,
it
no,
to
no.
Just
it's
be
it's
the next generation.
I'm so annoyed you beat me to it.
Wonderful. Anyway, the bass player in that band actually plays the short scale Jaguar bass, but the 4-string. But he's taken off the bridge and re-drilled it to be a 5-string.
Oh, right.
So, okay.
Yeah.
How the strings all fit on the
neck?
Yeah,
just about. I mean, he plays it in very much a similar way to a bass 6.
Another machine head?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he didn't need to do that now.
No, I know.
Ibanez have got a solution for him.
I just should tell him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. Anyway.
I'm sure that there's loads of demand on the second-hand market for a converted 5-string Squire Jaguar bass.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Now, we are drawing towards the end of this week's free episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. You can, of course, listen to an entire extra episode of Guitar Nerds every week over on our Patreon site, patreon.com/guitar nerds. You can also find it in the description of this podcast episode. This week on our Patreon, we're going to be doing the first of our 10-part Gear of the Decade series of podcasts. Each week we're going to be totting up the best bits from 2010 through to 2019, which we kind of already know from Gear of the Year, and then we're going to be deciding on the best guitar products of the entire decade over the next, whatever, you know, nearly 3 months. To become a Patreon supporter, it costs only $1 a month, and you can enjoy the podcast ad-free and early every week. Plus, be a part of our live audience and participate in our semi-regular Guitar Nerds live episodes. At the $5 tier, you can enjoy an entire extra episode every week, plus access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series, like the... Mini-series. Like the Question Hole, totally Bar Chords, and the Friday Specials. At the $10 tier, you can become an executive producer and enjoy all these benefits. Plus, you get the prestigious honor of having your name featured in our podcast outro song, sung by me. Follow us on all the major social platforms at Guitar Nerds, and join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Bye-bye. Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Yes, here we go. Jeffrey Wax and Eric Hammer, Mario Turan and Brian Einsler, Gavin Vanderlinden and Jacob McGee, Markizal, Kadawaki and Stuart Robson, Robin Butterworth and Neil Milton, Rob Bostow and Christian Lundhansen, Keith Adams and Eric Farr, Andrew Good, Man Peters, Richard Sudworth.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's GRAMMARLY.com/podcast. Easier said, done.